Well, it's my privilege to be here again today, and I thank the Lord for the church here and what's trying to be accomplished for the Lord, and thank the Lord for that. I trust you've had a good year, 2012, and that, you know, I've heard somewhere, God is good all the time. And we may go through difficult times, but God's still good, and he's faithful and true to us, isn't he? Thank the Lord. Well, we appreciate Jackie Grove singing for us tonight, and Mark this morning, the choir singing, that's great. And you're able to make it here safely tonight, and I thank the Lord for that. Usually on Sunday nights, when I'm able to speak, I share a few things on the lighter side. And let me do that again tonight. Did you hear about the teenage boy who had just passed his driving test and asked his father as to when they could discuss use of the car? And his father said he'd make a deal with his son. You bring your grades up to a C or B average. Study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut, and then we'll talk about the car. Well, the boy thought about it for a moment, decided he'd settle for the offer, and they agreed on it. About 6 weeks later, his father said, "Son, you've brought your grades up, and I've observed that you've been studying your Bible, but I'm disappointed that you haven't had your hair cut." The boy said, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that, and I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair, John the Baptist had long hair, Moses had long hair, and there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair." You know, I love the dad's reply. "Did you also notice they all walked everywhere they went?" I think that boy's got a long walk. Oh, my. The Lone Ranger and Tonto were camping in the desert. After they got their tent all set up, both men fell sound asleep. Some hours later, Tonto wakes the Lone Ranger and says, "Kemosabe, look towards the sky. What you see?" The Lone Ranger replied, "I see millions of stars." "What that tell you?" asked Tonto. The Lone Ranger ponders for a minute and then says, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it seems we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What's it tell you, Tonto?" "You dumber than I thought, Kemosabe. Someone stole the tent." Oh. Lone Ranger and his faithful companion, Tonto. Oh. Let's write a letter. What do you say? Maybe it's a belated Christmas card. That might be what you want to write about. Maybe someone has an anniversary coming up this week and you're going to send them an anniversary card or an anniversary letter. Maybe someone you haven't seen for quite a while, and it's been on your heart to write them a letter. and encourage them. And maybe someone has been really down physically and spiritually, and you want to write a letter of encouragement and to send it to them, and hopefully it lifts their spirits and it helps them. So you're going to write this letter, or maybe it's a card, but let's think about a letter. Now, what do we need to write a letter? Well, we need a pen, right? And you need some paper, and you need some words to write on the paper, and you need an envelope to put the letter, fold the letter and put it in the envelope, and you need a stamp to put on the envelope. And then you go down to the post office and you mail it. And the person getting this letter opens it and reads it and has a response. I mean, you may not know what the response is, but it may be a smile. It may be feeling sad. It may be a happy feeling. It may be a word of thanks, thankfulness in the heart. They might laugh, possibly, depends on what you wrote, or they may even shed a tear. And after that response, they may want to write you a letter back and thank you for your condolences. Do you see any similarities to that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, would you turn to that, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, it's not a physical letter that's referred to, but I believe it's a spiritual one. We want to focus on these first three verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. As we read and comment here, do you see any similarities to our imagining sending out a letter, putting it in an envelope and mailing it, having it open and read? Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? And so he starts out and refers to some others. You see that? As some others. They apparently, these false teachers, false prophets and that, they apparently had letters of commendation, good references. Had a good resume. And Paul is asking the question, do we begin again to commend ourselves as, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? He's going to imply that he doesn't have those references and a good resume and all those commendations from other people, but he's got something even better. And here it is. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. See that word written there? He's talking about them being a letter. You know, there's a lot of different names for the Christian. Believers, we're called, referred to as sheep, aren't we? We're soldiers of the cross, we're witnesses, God's husbandry, God's building, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit. But here's one you may not be quite as familiar with or hear much about it. We are letters, epistles of Christ. We're letters of Christ. And, well, how is this letter written? Well, we know where it's written. He says, in our hearts. But how is this letter written? How is there being an epistle of Christ written? Well, verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink. So contrary, different than what our letter was going to be about, with an ink pen and all, this is not with ink. You know what the problem with just writing a letter in ink? Ink can smear, can smudge. Have you ever gotten an envelope, a letter in the mail or something in the mail, and the your address was smudged a little bit from the rain or snow? Yeah. That could be one of the problems with written in ink. It can smudge, it can might even fade, can run. And so this letter, Paul's writing about them being the epistle in his heart, is not written with ink. Something else that's not written in, verse 3 continues, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. This letter that he's referring to is not written in a table of stone. You know what the problem with writing something in stone is? It can break, can crack. Remember those Ten Commandments that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai, and he saw the sinfulness of the people, and he broke those, literally broke those Ten Commandments. And of course, they were rewritten. But the problem with the writing a letter in tables of stone is they can be broken. They can be, they can crack and crumble. They can get dirty. I was thinking about my wife's headstone in the cemetery, and I really haven't, boy, I really feel embarrassed to talk about that. I should go down there, go there more often and clean it off. But you know, a lot of times birds visit the headstone. Grass clippings get all over it, and dirt and dust and can get on it. And I trust it's made of something that paid enough that it won't get discolored or fade too much. But stone is temporary. Just like writing something in ink is temporary. So, verse 3 tells us that we are the epistle of Christ. I notice the one of the descriptive words here, verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. You know, that word manifestly has the idea of making visible, putting on display, to be clearly seen, to reveal. And said, you're the epistle of Christ, manifestly declared. You're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. You make visible Christ. You make him clear. You make him, you reveal him. Boy, that's a responsibility then, isn't it? To be an epistle of Christ, to be a letter of Christ. And that word epistle means a message to send to be a message for, be a letter. And you and I are a message, are sending forth as a epistle of Christ, sending forth the Lord Jesus, sending forth a message as an epistle, a letter. Now notice the last part of verse 2 about this. This is serious business. To be an epistle of Christ Verse 2, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of how many men? All men. Known and read. Just like the letter we imagined to write tonight here was read by the recipient of it, our letter of our life is known and read of all men. You know what? Somebody's watching you, and somebody's watching me, and we may not know who they are or where they saw us or where they read us. That word read kind of reminds me of these truck drivers' talks. At least they used to. They'll say, "Hello, Charlie, this is Abel. Do you read me?" And Abel says, "Yes, Charlie, I read you." And you know what? People are reading us. What kind of letter are we sending out? We're going to talk about that and kind of apply it here a little bit later here. Now, known and read of all men, you may be surprised who is observing you. Maybe someone at the grocery store, the marketplace, the post office. Some best friend is really watching your walk with the Lord. Maybe some child is. Known and read of all men. Looking at our life. They're looking at our actions. They're looking and listening to our words. And they're looking at our attitude. Known and read of all men. When Jim Tressel was head coach of the Ohio State football program, he often quoted this simple four-word saying, "Remember who you are." Remember who you are. What was he implying by that? Well, I think he was trying to express to the men, I said, that you're one of the top collegiate football teams in the nation. Remember who you are. You're part of a tradition here at OSU at winning football games and championships. You're part of a school that stresses excellence. You are Ohio State football. Remember who you are. I don't know if you ever listened to WRFD. You ever hear Bob Burney live? Someone told me one time that he had said on the radio there that this word, remember whose you are. Whose you are. We're Christ. We're an epistle of Christ. We're a letter of Christ. There's another word I'd like us to see here in verse 2. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts. And the last part of verse 3. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The heart. What's the heart? It's synonymous with the soul. It's the center of our emotions. It's the center of our desires, of our wills, the heart. I found out that the Christian life is a matter of the heart. Not so much of what we know, not so much of the intellect, but a matter of the heart. Speaking from the heart. praying from the heart, studying the Bible from the heart, reading the Bible with our hearts, caring for people with our heart, loving people with our heart, trying to help people by our hearts. And by the way, thinking about that, praying from the heart, I was thinking about that tonight. I trust that you'll get a lot of good answers to prayer in the year 2013. I had a desire there to trust that maybe some loved one will get saved this year, this coming year. That you will be prosperous spiritually, and maybe even other ways as God allows it. But anyway, from the heart. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, this is really serious business. If I'm being known and read of all men, and we don't know who this they might be, and I assume that's in the community where you live, in the sphere in which you live, and the influence in the area of influence that you have, how can we be an epistle of Christ? I mean, how can that happen? How can we pull that off, as it were? How can we be an acceptable epistle of Christ? Well, I believe verse 3 could give us some help in that matter. Let's look at it again. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, now watch this, but with the Spirit of the living God. Oh, written by the Spirit of the living God. Wow. There's power there, isn't there? There's what we referred to this morning. There's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to be an acceptable epistle of Christ, one that will honor Him. And you know, we all, if you're saved tonight, and I assume all of you are, then you know that time, the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart and in your life. And now your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to live the Christian life, to live the Christ life, Christ kind of life. Remember whose you are. And the Spirit of God is able to enable you to live that Christ life for God's glory. So what does this mean? I'm an epistle of Christ. Well, every Christian is a living letter, a public letter, open display. We reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. We make Him visible, clear. We reveal Him, manifestly declared to be. Feel like it or not, personal problems or not, we're like handwriting, as handwriting fills a page, so Christ fills us. And people cannot see Christ. They cannot see the author of our epistle, of our life. But they can see His love through us. Yeah. They can hear His words through us. They can sense His presence in us. The epistle of Christ. You and I are that letter. And as we walk into the new year shortly, we're manifesting, revealing Christ as His, can I just say, love letter to man. In a real way, you and I are the pen and ink that communicate Christ to others. The pen and ink that communicate Christ to others. You know, I'm talking about spiritual realm here. So wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you have times of recreation, relaxation, sports events, wherever, you're a living letter of Christ. Now, why does that matter? Why is that important? Well, you know, people watch us and they look at us and they listen to us by reading your letter of life. And you know what I mean by that? That's our life, our actions, attitudes, motives, words, and so forth. People form their opinion of Christ. We're an epistle of Christ. So they can form their opinion of Christ by our letter of life. By reading your letter of life and my letter of life, people form their opinion about Christianity. About Christianity. And they form their opinion about Calvary Baptist Church here in Bucyrus. They watch our life, actions, words, behavior. And we also reflect our family, don't we? Our parents and loved ones, our home life. We reflect them. So it does matter. It is important. Now, here's my closing question, and let me use an object lesson here, okay? What kind of letter are you sending? Are you and I sending out junk mail? Please let me use this little object lesson here. Have you ever gotten any junk mail? Mm-hmm. Yeah. About all the time, isn't it? Coming your way. Well, don't get snowed by fast speed claims. Here's a cable company writing about that. Well, I'm not interested in that. The Reader's Digest, date materials enclosed. Well, I used to get that, and I got that for my wife, but one of the reasons, she could give her something to read and all, and I like some of the jokes in there, but I'm not interested in that now. So it goes in the trash. Oh, here's a good one. Your gift certificate is enclosed. Yippee! Has to do with buying some steaks. I'm not interested in that. $1 buys $30,000 of life insurance. Wow. I got enough insurance now, I'll tell you. That goes in there. Urgent message. Oh, yes, you better believe it would be. Not interested in that. Sure it would, yeah. Well, that's a company I won't mention. You know about that store. Guaranteed $7,000 burial expense. Oh, my. I hope my life insurance covers that for my family. I'm not interested in that right now. Express priority. Urgent, 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 urgent. Yes, I'm sure. Open immediately. Well, I didn't. Oh, here's one. 10 free trees. Colorado blue spruces. I got two big trees in my front yard now, and there's enough leaves falling now. I don't need any more. Missed it there. And there's another guaranteed amount, insurance and all. And the scooter show. The scooter power chair. Some of you may have to do that, have one. I thank God I don't have to have a scooter chair right now anyway. And so where does that go? Well, in the trash can. That electrical supply. You get something like that when a charger for putting rewiring electrical things. I don't know. Not interested in that. More free HD. Yeah. Now that's big. There's more HD to come. I'm sure there is. I'm not going to be interested in that. And four Disney movies. Just $1.99. Well, I understand those movies. And here's one, a lot of things about uniforms. Oh, boy. And most of it's all ladies. Ladies uniforms type of thing. And here's my last one I wanted to show you, my junk mail. It has to do with American Fishing Club. And I'll be honest, when it said free gift enclosed, show you're proud to be a fisherman, I reached down in there and got the free gift. And then I'm just going to throw it out. What kind of mail are you sending out? What kind of mail am I sending out? So for sake of illustration, I've prepared an envelope here. And you understand, this all has to do with our life, our behavior, our actions and all. My name, address, your name and address, mailed to your friends, to your friends. When your friends observe your letter of life, are they interested in knowing more about Christ? Or maybe they say, well, I'm really not interested in what they're saying. Roy made one out for our neighbor, to your neighbor, across the street, on either side of your house, down the street, your neighbor. And what kind of letter are you sending to them? You know, Jesus said, as the Good Samaritan story, anyone in need can be a neighbor. I wonder if my neighbors and your neighbors are the letter is unopened. Unopened. How about to our relatives? The relatives. Well, Christmas time, you've been with some of them, I assume. I don't know if you have New Year's Eve parties or New Year's parties, but you see some there. Maybe it's a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a relative. Maybe it's going to be at an anniversary party, get together, open house. Maybe at a birthday party. You'll be around relatives, grandparents perhaps, aunts, uncles. Maybe even at weddings. Maybe at a funeral. And you're there, and you're an epistle of Christ. You reveal Him, and you make Him visible, manifestly declared. Maybe it's a graduation, and relatives look at that, look at you and I, and they're not really interested. And whoever. This one I put Calvary Baptist Church, 1616 Marion Road, Bucyrus, Ohio, 44820. To whosoever. Talk about the church. Invite people to Calvary Baptist Church. I trust you are. Do it again this year, next year. Talk about the church. Talk about Pastor Lance and the work here and the ministry and the people that serve here. And let they kind of look at our life and actions and words. And And I'm not really interested in going to the church there. How sad, huh? Thank God for those that do come. But there's one more I'd like to share, and then I'm through. This actually has some writing on it. Now, you know that when I read this, that it's referring to your life and my life. Dear friends, or neighbors, or relatives, or whosoever, I am a Christian. I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. One day I realized I was a sinner and that the penalty for my sin was death. My sin was judged to be separated from God forever. But I believe that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin on the cross of Calvary. He died for my sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, and I trusted him one day to forgive my sins and to take me to heaven, as the Bible says. I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church there in Bucyrus. I believe in the Bible. I read it and take it to church every week that I may learn more about God and how to grow spiritually. I try to live right, to do right, and to speak the right things. I make mistakes and I sin at times, but when I do, I confess those sins to God and He forgives me and cleanses me from those sins. I would like you to be a Christian, to believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Won't you trust Him as your Savior also? Maybe you could attend church with me some Sunday, and you can hear more about God, more about Christ, and more about salvation. Signed, in Christian love. Would you put your name there? Let's pray. Well, just a reminder of one of the names and titles that God describes us believers and Christians. An epistle of Christ. How important. I'm wondering, as we've been talking about these things, would there be somebody, would there be someone you need to say, I'm sorry, to? Would there be anyone at work or in the neighborhood or in the family somewhere that you need to say, I was wrong about this area there, and please forgive me? Relationships with others. How about it? Well, that'd be a good testimony, wouldn't it? To express being sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. Maybe even say, I love you in Christ. Well, Father, I thank you for this word of yours. And I pray that something said this day would be helpful to us in our walk with you. And Lord, touch people's lives through our letter of life. In Jesus' name, amen.